She just got done putting out Baby Steps, now available. Having the child I always wanted, and in quotes right next to it to the bottom right, just not as I expected. And through great financial wrangling, we have convinced Gretchen Carlson to stick around.
Oh, yeah, right.
For this, because you guys absolutely see eye to eye. We saw you on Law & Order. Now you have another movie coming out. But this isn't about that, is it, Elizabeth?
No. You know, I started writing a blog for People.com about 2.5 years ago, and that was my foray into being really open and revealing and candid about my life, especially as a mother. And I ended up blogging about my fertility issues, which at that time I had decided with my partner to keep private, as I think many people who are public figures decide to keep their lives private. But there really is a call to action with fertility issues, and so I decided to blog about it. It was a, you know, personal journey to make that decision.
On People.com?
Yes, on People.com. And the outpouring of response was outstanding. It was, you trended at number one on Yahoo for a good portion of the day. And then the letters and the response from people, I mean, 5-page letters from Australia, women sharing their journeys with me. And I thought, I'm not the only one. And then you do the research and there's 70 to 80 million people in the world who have fertility issues, half men, half women. And you think there is a need for infertility to be discussed openly and not have a stigma attached to it. Because I was really ashamed in some ways that I felt broken and I kept it to myself. And I don't know how conscious I was about, you know, how, you know, kind of incomplete I felt as a woman.
Even though you're this huge star, you're on the hit show, everything's going great, you're beautiful, you're saying to yourself, I didn't feel fulfilled, because that's still fundamentally what you wanted to be. You wanted to be a mom.
Well, there's a chapter in the book called Lust, which is a great word. And right. I think if you've had baby lust, which a lot of us have, you've lusted for it for a long time. And even if you're career-driven, you have this passion, this desire. You know, you're looking at babies. You're beginning to feel that clock ticking, but it's ticking so much faster than you think it is. I mean, by the time you're 35, 1 in 200 women are going to get pregnant naturally for their first time. And then as you get into your 40s, it goes into the high thousands. Women aren't really talking about this because there is this feeling associated when you can't have a baby naturally that you're not as much of a woman.
Well, I think it also factors into women being in the workplace now, too. It's sort of this yin and yang of, and by the way, I suffered through the same things that Elizabeth did, and I got lucky getting pregnant by myself, but I had the same shocking revelation. Oh, your eggs are old, when I was 35 as well.
And yeah, we had the exact same thing.
And you're 34, and you're like, my eggs are old? What do you mean?
Accelerated ovarian aging.
But I think it's because in society, women want to be able to do everything that men are doing and get great jobs and stay in the workforce. So we don't want to admit that maybe we do have to look into having children earlier. And it sort of, I think it factors into not asking the right questions then. And I think don't you think there's this prevalence in society that we can just have a baby whenever we want?
Well, I think that the 30s and the 40s are the new 20s. And so if you're going to actually finish school, you know, you begin to add up the math. You have 10 years to establish yourself in a career. You're looking for Mr. Right, not Mr. Right Now, to start your family with. You add all that time together and you're suddenly still very young. You're 35. You're 34 like you, 35 like, you know, like you, and 34 like me. And you do all of that math and, you know, the clock is ticking faster and faster. I mean, those are incredible statistics. When you think about it, 38, you're going to be in the high thousands of getting pregnant the first time naturally.
Mm-hmm. Well, listen to this. Can we talk lust again?
Let's talk lust.
Let's go to your book.
Lust.
Whether you think your lust is for a possession, a car, home, or money, or for someone you can't have, a lover, lost friend, parent, or child, you've learned that the fulfillment of lust is no ticket to happiness. And that lust, for you, it was career.
Yeah, but I also think in regards to dealing emotionally with the possibility that I might not end up getting pregnant naturally ever, which is what they told me at 34, I also had to combat my own personal baby lust. Because as I went through the process to do fertility treatments, which was a lengthy process, I had to also, I mean, I was thinking happy thoughts, happy, happy, happy thoughts, which is, you know, what you need to do to have a non-stressed experience and hopefully, you know, have a pregnancy. But I also had to come to terms with the fact that it may not happen for me in my life. And I think ultimately you have to find some detachment and some peace in yourself, that if your dreams are not met as you see them, and if things don't work out as you planned, that you're still whole and you can still have an extraordinary life experience.
Yeah, but and this is why I think it's so important that you've written this book, because I remember after finding out that I had a 3% chance of ever getting pregnant on my own, I went to see a fertility specialist, and the first thing he said to me was, "Have you ever considered a donor egg?" Which would mean having a baby that was not mine genetically with my husband, with some other woman's egg, and then putting it inside of me. And I went and sat on the park bench out by Central Park and sobbed my eyes out for an hour. I was 35 years old, and I like you, had this lust. I wanted to have a great career, but always wanted to have a baby.
Yeah.
And the idea that suddenly I was faced with having a donor egg on the first day, this is why it's so important for you to give the advice to women to ask all the right questions.
Well, that's one of the things we were talking about earlier, which is if there is a call to action for this book, it is to be the voice of the reproductive generation. It's to say to all women who want to have babies that they need to make a plan. Starting at 30, they need to go to their OBGYN annually and say, please check my ovarian reserves and my, you know, and my hormone levels so that I can be prepared, because each of us is going to age at a different rate. Mm-hmm. For us, we aged a little bit earlier.
Our eggs.
But we're looking very good these days.
Yes, you are. I would attest to that. Do you think is it something about the environment today, or are we just as a generation just doing everything later, putting things off?
I can't speculate because I'm not a scientist on the first part, but I definitely...
But you could play a scientist.
I could.
So pretend.
Just like I played a lawyer. No, I think it has to do with the fact that we're sticking with school. We're going all the way. We're not, you know, dropping out to have children at 19, and then we start our careers. And by the time all of that happens and we're established, we're 32, 33. Then we're focusing on meeting a partner, and that takes time to have a really authentic relationship, you know, and by that time you're in your mid-30s. And so we refer back again to that 35-year-old age being a real tipping point in fertility.
Mm. You know what the key is? Be a child star. So this way, if you were a child star at 11, you fulfilled that goal, and then the rest, you could focus on meeting that person. You could be married by 18.
It's downhill from there.
Four kids by 30, then you got it.
But I mean, what are you going to do with your life?
They'd all be nuts, because have you looked at the track record of child stars?
Right. You don't have to be sane.
The expectations are too high after that. You know, you're just depressed for the next 3 decades.
That's another. You'll get to the downside again. What's going on? Hey, we're talking with Elizabeth Rome. She's the author of Baby Steps, Having the Child I Always Wanted, Just Not As I Expected. And how is your child?
She's divine. She just turned 5 April 10th. And, you know, it's everything I expected. I mean, a lot of things in life are not as you expect, but parenthood exceeded my expectations.
And right now, your daughter has having a daughter helped or hurt your career?
I think it helped it and enhanced it. I mean, your heart grows by 10 sizes. You know, it's your ability to love, your ability to be present. I mean, just alone being pregnant, more people talk to me. I talk to more people. You become a part of a community.
Right.
And the thing that, you know, we connect on outside of our work is our families. How's your family? How's your mom? How's your child? You know, and this is a deep, deep connection between people.